flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
There it is, and here he is, 11-time world champion and AEW superstar, Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Cope, joins the show. How's it going today, Cope?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good, and I hope you understand why this question would come up, and maybe you can commiserate with us. We're the flagship station of the Dallas Cowboys, and a lot of sports misery has come along with that for a really long time. Is your favorite hockey team essentially the NHL version of the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, and the Yankees, and except the Yankees win a lot. or maybe the Red Sox is a better analogy. But yeah, it can be tough to be a fan at times just because I mean, you guys at least had the 90s. Our last championship was 67.
Oh, man.
So you didn't even get to see it. You just have to hear people talk about it.
I wasn't even born, and I'm 51. So do the math on that, right? It can be tough at times, but no matter what, I will be a tried and true, bleeding the blue and white, and I watch every game of the season, all 82 of them. Even if we got a show, I'll wait, get back to the hotel, watch the replay. Like, I'm that guy.
So I have one more hockey question, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
All right. Do you know every single season now that y'all aren't going to win the Stanley Cup because Canadian teams don't win the Stanley Cup anymore?
Yeah, right. I know. And it's like, mind you, like, the Dallas Stars are all finished. So
I try to ignore that fact. Yeah, no, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. Yep. So, generally speaking, like, when I see, I don't know, the Panthers win and like 92% of their players are Canadian, I'm like, guys, just can you maybe join the Leafs for a season?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So we're talking with Adam Copeland right here on 105.3 The Fan. July 12th, all in, Globe Life Field in Arlington. You can go get your tickets, allelitewrestling.com or Ticketmaster. I'm curious of a logistical thing about wrestling because I heard you talk about this once before. How different is it to wrestle in a stadium or a dome versus like an arena? Because I've heard you talk about like the TLC 2 match at WrestleMania 17. Can you walk us through, like, as you're competing, how different that can be?
Yeah, it really is. And it was that match in Houston, the TLC 2 at WrestleMania 17, that really opened my ears, I guess, to that. Because up until that point, I had never wrestled in some kind of dome or stadium or anything. And I remember during that match, we're thinking, man, crowd's okay, but it's not like it would be usually, right? So we watch it back and we realize they were going nuts. It was just the sound has to go up, because it doesn't come at you because it's so cavernous, right? So it can go up, and if it's an outdoor stadium, it can go out. Whereas with arenas, it just comes directly at you. There's nowhere else for the sound to go. So that was just an adjustment as a performer going, okay, it's all right. There's just going to be a little bit of delay here as to when you'll get the actual reactions, which can make it more difficult because with what we do, we feed off of reaction. That's how we know if what we're putting out there is being picked up. You know what I mean? So it's an interesting challenge, but also give me a baseball or football stadium any day of the week and to be able
sure.
to perform that's an amazing thing.
So I don't know how much you go back and look at your old matches or anything, but is there anything that pops to mind in your head that you're like, I had a better match because I knew the crowd was losing their mind already? Or do you look back at it and you're like, I feel like we could have done better. I lost a little of my steam because the crowd was, you know, not apathetic, but maybe not all the way there.
I mean, I don't really go back and watch stuff. I usually just, I lived it and
right.
I experienced it and I heard the audience, and that's how I gauge everything. Like, I don't worry about social media. I don't worry about reactions from that because it's generally a lot of really jaded people who need to like watch sunsets. But for me, I get my feedback from the audience there. So that's why, again, a stadium can be difficult because, like with TLC 2, we just thought maybe they weren't there. Maybe we're just, you know, crap in the bed. I don't know. It didn't feel like we were. And then you watch back and you realize. So there are matches that happen during the pandemic when there's no audience that I really wish were in front of an audience when I was still with WWE. But there was also a global pandemic, and you just got to roll with it, you know? But yeah, I mean, I expect in Arlington, you know, the crowd to be insane, because if there's one thing AEW brings to the table amongst multiple other things, it's that our pay-per-views are, nobody can touch them.
For sure.
Yeah, they're fantastic. We got Adam Copeland, the Rated R superstar, joining us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. I've always been curious about this. The music hits, you walk out, the pop happens, you stand there and you take in the arena, you take in the facility. How much of that is for you and how much of that is for the audience?
I think it's both.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's worked. I think we're both kind of having fun with this thing. It becomes this kind of communal experience together, right? I want my entrance to pull the audience in. And it was Michael Hayes who actually told me, he goes, the more you give them on your entrance, the more you'll get back.
Ooh.
And that was such an eye-opener for me, because the minute I did it, I went, oh, man, they just reacted that much more. They were waiting for me to like give them all the energy that I got in me. And when that music hits and I come flying out that curtain, man, I could chew through concrete. Like, let's go. And now that I throw it at them, they throw it back. And it becomes this really cool thing. You know, I equate it kind of like, I guess, a concert. And, you know, when an audience sings back the lyrics
yes.
of a band or a song, and kind of that, now we're all in the same place together and we're experiencing this thing together. That to me is what the live experience of wrestling, of a sporting event, of, you know, theater, of, you know, a concert is. It's that place to go and experience it with other people, to cheer together, to laugh together, to boo together, to experience together.
So, Cope, we're headed to New Orleans next week for Radio Row and the Super Bowl, and we've got to interview some pretty special people there. I'm sure you've got to meet a lot of people throughout your career. Is there somebody that you haven't met that you would love to meet? And then another question is somebody met you that you're like, with their status, I can't believe they're that excited to meet me?
So I mean, Paul McCartney or Ringo Starr. Like,
yeah.
If you can meet a Beatle, come on. you know, that for me would be one of those. I have a feeling I wouldn't really know what to do with my hands. I'd be Ricky Bobby, like,
yeah,
what do I say? And I just start drooling or something, you know. So that would be like two people I would love to just sit down and have a coffee with, and just I don't know, compare stories. And theirs would be far cooler than mine, but still, it'd just be a blast. In terms of people that I've met, I mean, I think you run into like either musicians or actors or other athletes, and sometimes that can be kind of surprising.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You know, just because you don't really assume that maybe they have the time to watch television,
right?
You know, because I know how little time I have to watch it. So, you know, it's funny when you meet somebody like a Dave Grohl or a James Hetfield, and they, you know, like, hey, I'm Adam. And they're like, yeah, I know who you are. Like, whoa, okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yes.
It's still nice that you introduce yourself, though.
I'm Adam.
I still think that's nice. Now, I know we're gearing up, talking about All In July 12th, but I did want to bring up the WWE for a second just because of we're about to hit the Royal Rumble. 5 years ago, you came back in the Royal Rumble, and everybody, including myself, lost their damn minds. What have the last 5 years been like for you, maybe professionally, but more importantly, personally, getting to go back into something and do something that you thought was done for good?
Well, I think it's all a bonus. That's how I've categorized this whole thing. The minute I stepped out at that Rumble in Houston, it was all extra. You know what I mean? Because in that first run that I had, I accomplished everything I had set out to accomplish, but I didn't get to end my career on my terms. So that was really the last box to check. And when I got clearance to come back, I was, well, okay, here we go. Let's see how long I can run this. And here we are 5 years later. And I think for me, I'm all about challenges, right? That's what lights me up is the challenge. And the challenge to get back to doing this when I was told I could never do it again. The challenge to get back to doing this with injuries that no one has ever come back from to wrestle again. Those, for me, are the things that I was like, okay, let's knock those boundaries away. Let's just get them out of the way. And then to get back, have my time with WWE, get some of the matchups I wanted to get done there, and then come to AEW where there was an entire roster of fresh faces that I've never created with. That, to me, was super exciting. You know, and I look at our roster, and I look at guys like Swerve Strickland. I look at Hangman Adam Page, and I look at MJF, and I look at Kenny Omega. I look at Will Ospreay. I look at Samoa Joe. I look like all of these matches have never happened. And that for me is the other challenge. It's like, okay, I am 51 years old. I know I'm in the tail end of this thing. Can I still get in there and go with a Will Ospreay? That's a challenge. That's a massive challenge. And at some point here, I'm going to have to answer that challenge.
Is the Rumble more logistically complicated than any other match that you have? Because like, hey, I'm coming in at this time. I need to watch other people know when I'm going to go out. Like, is that?
No, I think more than anything, it was always the TLC matches, especially when you get multiple bodies in there. You know, you get the Dudleys, Hardys, and Edge and Christian, and there was just so much out of your control because you're dealing with tables, you're dealing with ladders, you're dealing with all of these things that really you don't have control over. And they are just ladders from Home Depot, and they are just tables from, you know, so you're dealing with that. That, to me, are always a little more precarious, far more dangerous. And that is what it boils down to for me. It's like, logistically, the ones that are the most dangerous are, the toughest.
My son and I, we burned through The Flash a few years ago and saw you as Adam Smasher. That was awesome. But then I recently watched by myself, I watched the Percy Jackson series, and I loved it. You were fantastic as Ares, and I was very curious on how that kind of thing comes about. Were you always interested in acting? I know you're a performer as a wrestler, but was acting and being on the screen a thing for you?
It was never a thing for me, honestly. My whole thing from the time I was 10 years old and I first saw Roddy Piper was, I'm going to be a wrestler. And when I was 17 and beginning my wrestling training and still saying that, I think that's when, you know, my mom up until that point was like, yeah, okay, go for it. But when I actually started, she was like, okay, this kid's going to do this. Go for it, kid. That was always the plan. Right. So when I had to retire, when I was forced to retire back in 2011, I didn't know what was next. And it just so happens that a show called Haven, the executive producers were watching the promo where I retired from the only thing I ever wanted to do for my entire adult life. And they went, whoa, that guy just made us cry. Can we get him as a tie-in to our show? Because SmackDown led into it. One episode turned into 41, and in the midst of that, I realized, wow, this acting thing's pretty awesome, and it still kind of tapped that vein, that performance, that storytelling, it just didn't have that instant reaction to gauge whether what you're doing is working or not. So I had to get used to that, and I had to get used to, you know, pulling back my facial expressions, because with wrestling, it's bigger, it's larger than life. With acting, especially when they get, you know, cameras in your face to where you can see your nose hairs twitch, you got to be careful with what you do with your face. You don't pull wrestling faces. So there were challenges there. Once again, I love challenges. So it was a challenge to bring my things down, make them more centered, and then see where it could go. Now, if you had told me I would have ended up on The Flash and on Vikings and then end up on, you know, one of Disney's biggest shows and nominated for an Emmy for it.
Yeah.
No, not happening. But here we are.
And all along the way with hopefully less people hitting you with ladders. So that's a bonus.
Yeah, I think I'm going to put that in my next contract. No ladders.
Now, you talked about it. And for people who know the product, they know that AEW pay-per-views are unbelievable. You get about 4 hours and it's loaded up. But speak to the people who are listening right now in the DFW who have maybe probably been to Globe Life Field a whole lot for Rangers games. Why should they come check out AEW if maybe they're not as familiar with y'all's product?
Well, I think so. What wrestling is in general is a melting pot of everything, right? So there's music, there's explosions, there's storylines, there's drama, there's comedy, there's take your pick of an emotion, and it's baked in there, which is what drew me to it. With AEW, you have this roster of a lot of really young, talented people, and some of the guys and girls do stuff where I just go, wait, how is that even possible? Like, I can't even wrap my mind around how that's being done right now. And that's a change in the industry, because it used to be a lot of really, really, really massive individuals who didn't do quite as much, you know, and they relied more on the larger than life aspect, which is great. Now it's become much more of an athletic demonstration. Mm-hmm. It's just insane to me what some of these guys and girls do. So you have a roster full of really young, hungry, up and coming talents that will carry AEW going forward. And then you have, you know, some seasoned veterans like Omega and guys like that who is still just firing on every cylinder possible. And then you have guys like myself, like Christian, like Dustin Rhodes, Jeff Jarrett, Chris Jericho, guys who have been around this industry 30 years and upwards, who can still be there to lend advice or have asked, hey, this is what I think. Give it a shot, see what you think, or don't. Up to you. it's really a roster that covers all the bases.
When we talk to Tony Khan at the Super Bowl next week, I'll tell you tell him that you closed out with, give it a shot or don't. I'm just kidding.
Not our pay-per-view. You give that a shot. I need the talent.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. July 12th, All In. It is All Elite Wrestling's first ever stadium show in the United States. It's going to be at Globe Life Field. Go to alleliterestling.com to get tickets, get the link, or further information. Man, thank you very much for jumping on with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
That was awesome, dude. He's fantastic, man. I really enjoyed talking to him. I hope we get to do that more in the future.